This is Apologetics Live with Matt Slick and Andrew Rappaport, part of the Christian podcast community.
I think we're live. We're trying to set this up. Sorry, folks. A little bit different, as you can tell. Justin and I are in a hotel. Maybe if I move this closer, we won't get... I'm trying to prevent some of that light that's right above us. Probably not the best. So, folks, let us know, those in the chat, let us know if you can hear us okay, just because it's a little different setup. Being on the road as we are. So, and if anyone wants to join, just go to apologeticslive.com to come in. And so you can join us. And let's see, I'm going to just send this over, the link over to Mr. Slick to see if he wanted to join, but we'll see. So Justin was, for folks who are watching, and okay, good, you hear. So Justin is out here in Pennsylvania. Actually, I kind of like this. I look bright and you look dark. I like that.
Yeah.
Let's see, what if we put this over here? Sorry, folks, I know this is horrible to do when it's live, is to play with the camera. That looks much better.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but then I got to make sure.
Hello, everybody.
Sorry for having to adjust this. All right. So Rosie Grubb says, hello, Andrew and Justin from Vegas. Okay, I'm getting rid of the mouse because that has no battery. So so we're in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. I'm trying to just adjust this. All right. Move it closer so that you... We need Justin looking better. Okay. what I figured we'd do until anyone comes in with some questions. If you have any questions, for specifically NAR or Word of Faith, be a better topic. It would be good to ask that tonight. But what I figured we would do until folks come in with questions. We may not go as long, so we'll see how long we end up going tonight, just because it's been a long day, and because of that, well, someone needs to sleep. I don't know why.
I'm okay. I'm getting my second wind. I didn't sleep much last night at all.
Yeah, there was a noisy neighbor keeping him up, pounding on the walls of the room. Wake up! So what I figured we could do, Justin, let's talk a little bit about...
Thank you, Sheila. I'm fascinated by these notes. I've not really... This is...
Yeah, so what I could do is I actually could put the notes right up there as people comment. And
more light on Justin. Yeah, I know. I'm dark. I don't know that there's anything we can do about
it. What if I do that? Oh, no, that'd be worse. Yeah, the problem is there's a light right over the camera. That's the problem. It's what happens when you're mobile like this. It's... what if I go back? Does that not just... okay? So, so Sheila, you should just come on in and join us. Is what you should do. Go to apologeticslive.com.
Hey, Addison and Abigail. Sorry, man. I'm not...
yeah. No, that's good. Well,
hello, Addison. Abigail.
So Danny was following us on online, saw that we were at dinner. We were kind of rushed a bit. I guess I should just announce that, right? We're sitting there. We had dinner. We were having some great fellowship. We were sitting with Chris Arnzen in the hotel lobby, and I was the one that invited Chris to come back so we could hang out for a while, and we're just kind of hanging out, and all of a sudden I went, oh, we got the show to do, like, right now. So I ran in here, and that was a little bit a little bit busy. So let's talk about until folks come in with questions. And again, if you want to come in, just go to apologeticslive.com to ask any questions. So what I want to do is talk about what the topic was tonight or today at the luncheon. We'll start with that for folks. I think many of the folks probably who know you are aware of what Word of Faith is and what your ministry is. But for folks who don't, why don't you just explain briefly the brilliance in the naming of your ministry and the forethought.
Yeah, no, I'm the head of Justin Peters Ministries, and I promise you that is a lack of creativity on my part, not narcissism. I didn't know what else to call it. So if I'd have put a little more thought into it, I could have probably come up with something better, but now it is what it is. But what was your question? What did I talk about today?
Yeah. Well, actually, we got some on that. So we got a question that did come in, at least here, from a Facebook user. How would you respond to a Pentecostal that says tongues is his private prayer language?
Yeah, great question. So I hear this a lot, and I know a lot of people are very sincere when they say this, that I've heard a lot of people say, well, I don't speak in tongues in church. You know, I don't do it in church. It's just something that I do privately between me and the Lord and my private prayer closet or, you know, kitchen table or wherever they like to pray. And it's just something between me and the Lord. And I understand that. I understand, you know, that when people say that they're very sincere. But here's what I would say to that is that is not in congruence with the purpose of the spiritual gifts. Why do we have spiritual gifts, generally speaking? What are they for? Well, we know from Scripture that they are for the edification of the church, the building up of the body. They are not for our own private use. Okay? They're not for our own private use. If you have the gift of mercy, for example, do you go into your private prayer closet and just show yourself mercy? You know, no, we laugh at that, right? That's comical. So, but
and we definitely don't exhort ourselves.
Yeah, we don't exhort ourselves. Right. We don't exhort ourselves. So why do we carve out an exception for the gift of tongues? Why do we say, okay, well, all of the other spiritual gifts are for the edification of the church, but for this one, that one I'm using for myself. That's not why we have spiritual gifts. That's not why they're given. And there's no hermeneutical reason to carve out an exception for the gift of tongues. It's just not. And there's no record of anyone in Scripture, Old or New Testament, praying to God in anything other than a human language. Nowhere. Everyone who prays, Jesus included, prays in a human language, a known language. So, I know people are very sincere when they say things like that, but sincerity is not the issue. Truth is the issue. We have to stick with Scripture. And we have to remember that a lot of pagan religions, Mormons speak in tongues. A lot of Hindus speak in tongues. Even a few Muslims, if you can believe it, speak in tongues. There's a lot of pagan religions that speak in tongues. So it's not a uniquely Christian practice. At least the charismatic expression of it is not this unintelligible, ecstatic gibberish, which is not the genuine gift of languages.
Okay, so we got, and for Facebook users, if you go to apologeticslive.com, or even, I think, even in the notes, there's a link of how to get Facebook to accept so we know your name. But why won't Michael Brown call out Todd Bentley, in your opinion?
Why won't Michael Brown?
I guess it says, why won't Michael Brown
call
won't,
out Todd
won't, yeah, won't called out?
Yeah, that's one of the, for those of you who may have seen my video, you can go on my YouTube channel. I did a video entitled My Response to Michael Brown. Michael Brown wanted to debate me about physical healing. He said he wanted to have a quote pastoral discussion about physical healing. And the summation of my response was, No, I cannot have a pastoral discussion about you with anything when you won't call out manifestly obvious charlatans and brazen heretics. Michael Brown doesn't call these people out. He calls them their brother, his brother. He calls Benny Hinn his brother. He calls Kenneth Copeland his brother. And even Todd Bentley, he won't call out definitively. He has said in this statement that was recently released a few days ago that he's not qualified for ministry, but yet the statement also said that Todd Bentley is gifted by God. Todd Bentley is not gifted by God. Todd Bentley is a wolf. He's a goat. He's lost. He's not gifted by God for anything. He is under the judgment of God. And one of the marks of a mature Christian is a discerning Christian. And quite honestly, I'm sorry, if you can't tell that someone as bad as Todd Bentley is a false teacher, then...
Okay, for folks who don't know enough about Todd Bentley, just a brief overview, what are some of the things that would cause Todd Bentley to be... Why should people be so discerning on Todd Bentley?
Well, you don't have to be very discerning about Todd Bentley. That's the thing. Todd Bentley is one of the worst of the worst of the worst. This is a guy who says that God told him to kick an elderly woman in the face with his biker boot. This is a woman. This is a man who, while this Lakeland revival that was going on back in 2008, and this was the biggest thing in the charismatic movement. Bill Johnson endorsed it. Heidi Baker, John Arnott, all of them. Even Michael Brown. The whole time the supposed revival was going on, Todd Bentley was a drunk. He was having an affair with a female member of his staff, even though he was married and had children. It was discovered, and rather than repent of his sin and go to his wife, he went ahead and divorced his wife, his handicapped wife. His wife, his original wife, Shona, has no knee in her left leg. Her had some surgery for, anyway. She has no knee, and probably didn't look real good for a faith healer to be married to a handicapped woman. Well, anyway, he divorced her, left his kids, married this adulteress. This is a guy who kicks people and kicks them literally in the stomach, kicked a guy with colon cancer in the gut. The guy belongs in a straitjacket. I mean, he is manifestly evil. And
when you say manifestly, you've actually been close enough to him and you have a particular view with him that you don't have with all Word of Faith teachers.
Yeah, I think Todd Bentley's demon possessed. I genuinely believe. I don't say
that. And you don't say that about many people. I think there's only two that I've ever heard.
The only two that I believe are genuinely demon possessed, that I would almost bet my soul on it, Todd Bentley and Kenneth Copeland.
I'm just glad I wasn't listed there.
not indirect. Todd Bentley and Kenneth Copeland, I believe, are actually demon possessed. I don't think Benny Hinn is. I think he's just a false prophet, false teacher. But Todd Bentley, I believe, is. Absolutely is. And in this statement that came out, Michael Brown, just a few days ago about Todd Bentley, he said, I have not endorsed Todd Bentley since 2009. Well, this Lakeland revival was going on in 2008. Mm. And everything that I just said about him, divorcing his wife, kicking elderly women and kicking people and all this, that was known in 2008. So it's a shame. It is an honest shame that Michael Brown is so lacking in discernment, so profoundly lacking in discernment.
So Michelle says, thank you so much, Mr. Peters, for your ministry. The Lord used your ministry to deliver my family out of the charismatic chaos.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So we have a Facebook user that asks the question, where's the sushi? but that's okay because NoCo Radio, our friend over there, Mike Abendroth, he said, there it is. He said, the sushi boys unite. So he had the answer.
Is Mike Abendroth on here right now?
Yeah, well, that would be NoCo Radio.
Oh, Mike.
So hey. He must be watching on Twitter.
funny.
So let's see. There were some other questions that we had.
I gotta say, Mike, I saw your thing about the Tim Keller thing that almost made me laugh out loud today. So yeah, go ahead. I digress.
Well, I don't know what you're. So now you have to share it with us. What did Mike do?
Oh, he had this picture of Tim Keller several years ago had the male ballet dancers perform at his church.
Really?
Yeah.
Ay-ay-ay. Okay, anyway. I didn't know that.
Well, yeah. Anyway.
Hey, Mike. It is Keller. He's in New York. All right, so let's see. There were some other questions that I did see come in. Andrew asks, how does Justin feel about denominations that associate as Reformed Charismatic?
Yeah, Reformed Charismatic. Honestly, I think that's kind of an oxymoronic term. And I don't mean that as an insult. I simply mean it as they should be two mutually exclusive positions, because one of the pillars of the Reformation was sola scriptura, scripture alone. And the charismatic movement, charismatic position, by definition, does not believe in sola scriptura. They do not believe that the scripture is sufficient, because they get dreams and visions and God speaks to them and all this kind of stuff. And so the Bible, you cannot hold to the continuous position, the charismatic position, and the sufficiency of scripture at the same time. They're mutually exclusive positions. So, I'm not saying that all charismatics are lost. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that you cannot hold to the charismatic position and the sufficiency of scripture at the same time. They are mutually exclusive positions. It's like having a square circle. It doesn't exist. Can't have it.
Okay. So Mike said, blessings, brother. He also said, here to serve. So we had, I saw another question that popped up earlier. Where was it? Danny's. Danny said, Justin, what would you say to those who claim that those who follow the Word of Faith and New Apostolic Reformation are at least getting some type of biblical doctrine?
What would I say to those who claim that those who follow Word of Faith and they are getting some?
Well, and I think, let me start with this. Let me take his question and ask this, because I think this will hone in on it. You have a view that like Islam is less of a threat than Word of Faith, right? But
spiritually
speaking. And then within Word of Faith, like a guy like Benny Hinn, you'll say at least the gospel goes out once in a while with him.
Mm-hmm.
But there's others that there's no gospel at all. And you make a distinction even there to say, okay, at least the gospel can be heard, even though he's giving a whole bunch of false doctrine, he'll also sometimes give some biblical truth. So I think what this is saying is at least if they're sitting under Benny Hinn, they're getting some sort of biblical truth. So my guess is they're trying to justify saying at least it's better than nothing.
Yeah, but it's really not. A couple of points. I have no doubt that there have been people saved listening to Benny Hinn preach. Now, before you think Justin has gone off the deep end, I have heard Benny Hinn present the gospel plenty well enough for God to call one of his own to himself. Now, once that happens, once someone does come to Christ, let's say they were saved by hearing the gospel by Benny Hinn. I mean, not everything that false teachers teach is false. Some of it is right. You know, a broken clock is right twice a day. So Benny Hinn has presented the gospel plenty well enough for someone to hear it, respond, get converted. But once that happens and that person begins to grow in Christ, he's not going to continue to listen to Benny Hinn. He's going to leave Benny Hinn and he's going to go get some sound teaching from biblically qualified men. Now, as far as, I don't know if that helped or not, a term. As far as well, it's better to listen to Benny Hinn than nobody. Well, no, it's not, because my wife gave me this illustration one time I thought was really helpful. In every area of life, we want the best and we seek out the best, right? We want the best mechanic to fix our car. We want the best plumber to fix our leaky sink. We want the best doctor to give us medical care. We want the best dentist to, you know, we seek out people who are qualified and trained in their field of expertise, except when it comes to preaching. And when it comes to preaching, when it comes to the nourishment of our eternal soul, anybody will do. You see how backwards that thinking is. There is no area that we should be more careful in than in preaching, than in the people to whom we listen for biblical instruction. The men should be men, by the way. But anyway, yeah, why compromise on that? We wouldn't compromise on anything else. Why do it there? So, you know, everybody starts off as a baby Christian. And I know that there are a few baby, very immature believers that would listen to a Benny Hinn or a Joel Osteen or something like that. But here's the deal. Babies grow up. Babies don't stay babies. They always grow up. And so as Christians, you start off as a baby Christian, but you grow up and you mature, you progress.
That works.
How'd you do that?
I made the screen brighter.
Oh, that'll okay. Work. All right. Well, that's better. So,
I was thinking,
did that answer your, I hope that answered your question.
Well, the best way to do it is to come on in, go to apologeticslive.com and join in. And then we know that you get the answers. So a Facebook user, sorry, he didn't allow StreamYard to use his name yet. So it says, Justin, how would you respond to if one doesn't speak in tongues, they don't have the Holy Spirit? We hear that a lot.
Assuming this person is not actually believing this, he's just...
Well, it's because he's saying, well, how do you respond? So I'm thinking that. But and we do hear that a lot. We hear people that say, if you don't... That tongues... I actually was online Facebook this week debating this with someone that was saying that tongues is the sign that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it's just false. It's just not a biblical position at all. When a person gets saved, he is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. When you got converted, you got all of the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. You don't get part of the Holy Spirit. You don't get a third of him at conversion, and then you work your way up to the rest of him. God gives the Spirit without measure. So when we are saved, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And we have the person of the Holy Spirit residing within us, who illumines the meaning of Scripture, sanctifies us, helps us to understand and obey Scripture, and thereby we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Christ. So, it's just a patently unbiblical thing to say, well, if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Spirit. Well, if I don't have the Spirit, I'm not saved. I mean, that's the bottom line. If you don't have somebody says you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you're not saved.
Well, and I think the way they come to this is they start to see that baptism of the Holy Spirit, they see this at the times where you have the gift of tongues, and that's tied with baptism of the Spirit in the book of Acts.
Right, which is a transitional
book. Which is a transitional book. And we see other times where people get saved and there's no speaking in tongues there. Where some of them will do is then they say the only sign of baptism of the Spirit is speaking in tongues. Some of them will see in 1 Corinthians 12:13 where it says we're all baptized into one Spirit. And so they say if we don't have the tongues, then we don't have the Spirit. If we don't have the Spirit, we're not saved. Mm-hmm. That's the way they would argue it. But there's actually nothing that says that the gift of tongues is the sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's something they interject. In fact, the whole chapter of that Paul argues in 1 Corinthians 12 is to say we don't all have the same gift.
Right.
And so we shouldn't all have the same gift of speaking in tongues.
That's the whole point of the gift of tongues, is we don't each have the same gift.
Yeah. And yeah. So let's see. Joe April Gass asked.
I mean, did I say the gift of tongues? I mean, that's the point of the spiritual gifts, yes, that we don't. Sorry. That we don't all have the same gift.
Yes.
I think I misspoke there.
He says, hey, guys, thanks for all you do. When is the next time to come to Nicaragua. So have you been to Nicaragua?
Yeah.
See, I Joel, I haven't been, so hey, I really can't say when the next time is, but I can say this. If you invite us, we'll come. And that's how that would be the next time.
Yeah, I would love to come back to Nicaragua. I sure would. It was a wonderful trip. Good brothers, good food too, by the way. I enjoyed it.
Wasn't the Indian food?
No.
Okay. Good.
My stomach is not strong enough to
handle. No, mine either. Sushi, I'm good with. Sushi, I could do. Okay. Al from New Jersey. Gotta get the New Jersey folks, you know, giving shout outs too. Al says,
that's the same question.
That's the one we asked already?
Yeah.
How do you answer those it's a different person asking the same question. Okay. Well, his question was, how do you answer those who would say if you don't speak in tongues, you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit? So actually it was a little different question, but it was answered in the previous one. So let's see. And so folks, if you want to come in and join us, that is the best way, because then we actually get to dialogue with you. So here's someone that just says, Ella says to you, this is from YouTube. Thank you, Mr. Peters. You had helped me too much when I got handing out Bibles. I talked to people about you and your ministry. I always pray for you and your family.
Thank you, Ella. I recognize Ella from Twitter back when I used to be on Twitter.
The self-imposed. Yeah. Ban that you're on, that you're not allowed. So the joke is, I posted a video that Justin put out, and someone came after me saying that somehow me posting his video was a violation of his self-imposed Twitter ban, which if it's self-imposed, he can come back anytime he wants. I'm just not sure. We got a shout out from the bar podcast. If you remember, Dwayne. Dwayne's right there.
Dwayne.
He's watching on Facebook.
Hey, brother. I'm looking forward to seeing you at G3.
We're going to see him at G3. We'll also see Andy Lewanski. He's going to be at
G3. My brother.
That's right. He says, hi, guys. Randy asks the question, any thoughts on Perry Stone? Seems people hang on his every word and prophecy here in West Virginia.
Yeah, Perry Stone is another Word of Faith, health and wealth, prosperity preacher. He's not quite as overt with the prosperity aspect of it as are some others, but it is there. In fact, I would say it's becoming more pronounced in his teaching from what I've seen. He's big on eschatology. You know, that's his thing, Israel and eschatology and all that. That's really neither here nor there, because he's Word of Faith. And if you're teaching Word Faith doctrine, bad juju. X out, not qualified to teach.
What do you got against the Jews? Bad juju. What's up with that?
Not that kind of Jew. So yeah, Perry Stone's bad news. Unqualified. There's that bizarre video of him. Came out a few months ago. Him getting he's speaking in tongues while he was checking his iPhone.
Oh, was that him?
That was Perry
Stone. Oh, that's why he's like. He's like, oh yeah, he's got his phone and he's like, you know, humming, 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 praise, 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 as he's like just texting away on the phone. I like your new shirt though. JustinIWin.com. That's nice. That showed up nicely. hey, Bobby, this is where we asked the question, where's Bobby? He says, hey, Justin and Andrew, we miss you in the Philippines.
Bobby.
Yeah.
This is fun, man. Bobby and all these people I know.
Bobby is, for folks who don't know, we're in the Philippines. I mean, Bobby was the guy that was helping during the conference. And it's like every time you turn around, there was Bobby. I mean, he was just always everywhere.
Bobby's a Barnabas. He's just helping everywhere.
You know, yeah.
Bobby, yeah, what a good brother. Man, I miss you guys in the Philippines.
I know. And they called I got a call from Pastor Armand when it was New Year's for them. So it was like middle of the day for us. And we were actually trying to get on a flight. Or I think we were getting back from, I forget what it was. And they had called and let us watch the fireworks there in the Philippines 12 hours before we would see it here.
It was a great trip. In fact, I wrote about our trip some in my newsletter. It's going to be coming out here shortly.
Sheila says, okay, what is the difference in prophecy and fortune telling that the palm readers do? Don't judge. I've been around both.
Yeah. I'm not sure I've ever been asked the question quite like that, but Sheila, there's really not much difference.
Anthony R. Silvestro Jr.
Oops. Oh, we should do that. Hey, let's do that. Hey, Anthony, say hi to Apologetics Live.
Hi. That's right. I forgot.
You want to say hi to Justin, too?
Hey, Justin. How are you, bro?
Hey, Anthony. Doing well. How about you?
Good.
You should just come into Apologetics Live so you could just join us, you know?
Well, we're on our drive back from a gun orientation at a sportsman club we joined. So.
Oh, we're not allowed to say that on the air anymore. Come on.
Can't say gun anymore.
I'll give you a call. When the show's over.
Yeah, do that, Justin. You should have some more sales. Where I was at last weekend, I talked to some people that have been devastated. Their families devastated by the NAR. And so we spent some time talking to them, and to buy your DVD, Cause About Water 2 and stuff. So hopefully they'll get it and help their families.
Well, thank you, brother. I hope that that's the case. Pray that it is. And just for anybody listening, I have a standing policy. If you need my resources and cannot afford them, let me know. Email me, let me know. I'll be glad to send you one for free. So
I can afford them.
I pray that
don't be trying to give me free DVDs.
You're not in the NAR. But
well, Anthony might disagree. You know, I don't know. All right, Ed. This is what happens live show. You call, you're going to end up on air.
Well, that's fine. I hope you guys have some good topics for tonight.
Yeah, we'll talk about you once we hang up. Now that we know you can't watch live. All right, good.
Bye, Anthony. So Sheila's question, what is the difference between prophecy and fortune telling that the palm readers do? Very little, very little. It's a distinction without a real difference. In fact, a lot of what these so-called prophets do is what's called cold reading. Psychics do the same thing. You know, Sylvia Brown and I guess Miss Cleo or whatever, you know, some of these people. You know, they go up to somebody and you can ask general questions that are broad enough, and you can key in on some of the things that people say, their body language, and you kind of make some educated guesses, and then you'll say, well, so and so, and you start making these kind of general statements, and you can pick up on these cues, and it actually sounds like you have some pipeline to some secret knowledge, when that's not it at all. They're just picking up on cues and body language, and you know, making educated guesses from that. So there's really not much difference. They're the gift of prophecy in the sense of foretelling the future is not in operation today.
Okay, so a Facebook user, I think, is giving you a warning here. Things being used, keep up the good work, Justin, but keep an eye out for Andrew. Can't trust any of those Jersey types. And unfortunately, I can't see who that is. I'll go back on Facebook later to find out who that is. Now, Jess is a regular here, and she asked the question, are you guys reformed, right?
Yes. Well, I mean, it depends
So it depends on your definition. So let me give you a little history of why I would hesitate. So you had the Catholic Church that developed what they, you know, a theology based on covenants and seeing themselves as a continuation of Old Testament Judaism. And you had the really reformers came out and developed what was called Reformed theology. And many people refer to covenant theology as Reformed theology. And then what you have is people who have taken what John Calvin, you know, the ideas of Calvin and Calvinism, and what people would talk about the doctrines of grace, or maybe people think of Calvinism, instead of calling that Calvinism or doctrines of grace, they call that Reformed theology. And Reformed theology is much broader. In one sense, in my sense, neither one of us would be Reformed in the sense that we are dispensational in our theology. And so that would be different than Reformed theology in one sense. Now, if you're speaking of it as far as the doctrine of salvation and how we're saved, well, there we would agree with the doctrines of grace. Right? Mm-hmm. Fair enough?
Yep. Five pointer.
All right. So, oh, I like this question, Justin. Melissa here is asking the question, has Justin begun his Didache podcast?
Technically, well, so there's some old broadcasts that are currently going, and it's under the label of Didache, but they were recorded a long time ago. I have not begun my new podcast because I am on the cusp of having a brand new website, totally revamped, and so I'm wanting to launch my new website and the Didache broadcast at the same time. So,
how long have I been asking you this question?
I know. Is
it going on like 2 years now?
Nah, surely not. not 2 years.
Melissa, I've been asking this on a regular basis as well.
Lord willing.
Doesn't need to wait for the new website. I mean, it's all there. Yeah. It's all ready. You could actually just start.
But you told me it was a good idea to wait and launch them both at the same time.
That was before we put all the ones out there. Now they're all the old ones are out there. So I say get going.
Very shortly. Very shortly. Thank you for asking.
You'll be a little busy with G3.
Yeah, yeah. Get past G3 and Lord willing, after G3, it should start.
Okay. Andrew had said to the question he asked, he said, thank you for your answer. Melissa asks, I found a church that is mostly sound, but the pastor teaches the spiritual gifts. I feel out of place because I am a cessationist. It's hard to fellowship with others because of this. Suggestions. By the way, let me just clarify before you answer. We believe in the spiritual gifts too. Mm-hmm. We just don't believe all of them continue.
And I'm sure Melissa, you understand that. But for anybody else listening, as a cessationist, I do believe, Andrew and I both believe in the spiritual gifts. We believe in all of them in the sense that they all at one time were in operation, including the apostolic gifts, the sign gifts. But those sign gifts, tongues, interpretation of tongues, languages, interpretation of languages, the gift of miracles, gift of physical healing, those gifts, those apostolic gifts, sign gifts, are no longer in operation. I do believe that God still heals people today, but only when it's his sovereign will to do so. That is not the same thing as saying that someone possesses the gift of healing. That I do not believe in. But as a cessationist, Andrew and I both believe in the gift of teaching, the gift of mercy, the gift of exhortation, the gift of giving, the gift of hospitality. All of these gifts are very much in operation in the church today. Only the apostolic gifts are not. Now, specifically to your question, honestly, Melissa, I don't know where you live. I don't know if maybe there aren't, I don't know if there's another option for you.
I was going to say the option of driving. Why don't you share about your wife, how far she used to drive that?
Yeah. This kind of goes back to what I was saying a little bit ago, that hearing the word of God exposited by biblically qualified men is so vitally important. It is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. I tell people, no matter how far you have to drive, find a good church. I don't care how far it is. And even if it's too far to go every week, better to go to a good church once or twice a month than a bad church every week. So seek it out, no matter how far you have to go. Talk to the elder. If it's too far to go every week, talk to the elders there. Let them know your situation. I'm sure they will be understanding. Before Kathy and I got married, Kathy used to drive. Long story short, Kathy was married before me. Her husband, John, died. So she was a widow. Died at a very early age of a heart attack. But before I married Kathy, when she and John were married, they lived in Billings, Montana. They drove from Billings, Montana to Bozeman one way to church. That's 140 miles.
But one way.
One way. And they did it every week, because church was that important to them. Mm-hmm. The word of God rightly divided was that important to them. Now, I understand not everybody can do that.
But it makes me feel better because I have like a 60-mile ride to church
So, so it makes me feel a little better. It's when I get up at like six in the morning, or sorry, when I leave, you know, when I'm leaving, we get up like at five something, six something to be able to go to church.
It's, I could it's not, you know, me personally, I could not join a church that is charismatic, that is continuous. Even if they were, you know, you hear the phrase open, but cautious, that kind of thing. I couldn't do it because it is that important of an issue to me. So, Melissa, I would just say, I don't know where you live. Go to tms.edu and they have a search there. Go to resources, find a church, and see if there's a church, you know, within 100 miles of you. It probably is, but.
Well, the church I go to, what we did, had a lot of people just couldn't find a good church in their area. In Bucks County, Pennsylvania. And they were actually driving into New Jersey to Somerset. They were driving, I think about an hour, over an hour to get to church every week. So they ended up getting enough people together and they contacted Master Seminary and their Grace Advance program and worked out with Grace Advance that they would send out a pastor and plant a church. And so it's a new church plant, Master's Church of Bucks County. I'm still in New Jersey, and we're looking to move, even though it may mean you're further away from other things. We're closer to church, so we could do more activity with church. So we're in the process of moving just to be closer to the church.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's an interesting question.
Yeah. So a Facebook user asked this question: would it be fair to say that it would be wise to avoid all the teachings of Dr. Michael Brown? I've heard some within Reformed circles that Dr. Brown should be listened to since he does a good apologetics on the issue of homosexuality and Jewish objections to Christianity. And you just got this one today from someone. So,
yeah, I would say, yes, it would be wise to avoid all the teachings of Dr. Michael Brown. It's not that he's not right on a lot of things. You know what? He is. I have heard Dr. Brown, Michael Brown, debate penal substitutionary atonement. I couldn't have done any better. I mean, he was very good on it. But the Bible has qualifications of an elder, a Bible teacher, able to teach sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. And Michael Brown does not refute those who contradict sound doctrine. He calls them his brothers. And that is such a shocking lack of discernment. As I said earlier, one of the marks of a mature Christian is a discerning Christian. Mm-hmm. You cannot lack discernment and be a mature believer at the same time. Can't do it. Hebrews chapter 5. And so if you cannot call out Todd Bentley and Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn as false teachers, then you don't have any discernment. I mean, this is calling those guys out. That's basic.
That's
101. That's ground level discernment. And so, not qualified to teach. I'm sorry. It may sound harsh. And I know not everybody in Reformed circles would agree with my assessment of Dr. Michael Brown, but I don't know how you get around it. I'm sorry. I don't know how you get around it. So no, I would not recommend him on anything. There's other sources that you can go to who are qualified. So,
and this one won't get into detail. Let me just answer it quick. It's the question of slavery in the Old Testament. Is it justified? Yes. Moving on. the problem with the slavery in the Old Testament is people want to apply the slavery that happened in Europe and America with the African slave trade. Totally different. The slavery in the Old Testament was an economic system.
And in the New Testament too.
Yeah. And so, and obviously it wouldn't be, it'd be justified in the sense that, you know, just read the book of Philemon. Paul doesn't say run away from your, your master. He says, go back home.
Philemon is Philemon.
Yeah. All right. So are you working on anything or have you done anything revealing the problems with Hebrew Roots Movement? I don't know if you have. I will be, I'll say this, I will be interviewing shortly on both here probably and on the Rappaport, an author of a book that I'm reading right now. So far, I'm halfway through, and I do think that I'll probably have him on. The book is Torahism. Originally, I thought it was going to be to support Hebrew roots, but as I got through it, it is an excellent apologetic against it. And so I may deal with that. I don't know if you deal with Hebrew roots, really.
I don't deal with it. I mean, I'm pretty familiar with it. It's bad. It's a bad juju, as I said.
You know, again, with the bad Jews. Okay, the bad juju dealing with Hebrew roots. Come on, that's not in context.
That's a microaggression, right?
That's a microaggression. There you go. Okay, so here we go. Vince has a great point here. Benny Hinn and Paula White are the Romeo and Juliet of apologetics.
I've not quite heard. That's a new analogy there. Benny Hinn and Paula White. You know, they had a fling about 10 years
ago. Oh, really? Oh, that's right. Yeah. Vaguely remember something about that. See, I don't follow it as much as him.
Our president needs new spiritual advisors.
Yeah, like his vice president.
Desperately.
just get your spiritual advice from your vice president and stop these other advisors. Okay, so this is from YouTube at Striving for Eternity. Do you think the false prophet in Revelation might come out of NAR? Also, have you tried to get Copeland Airlines to advertise on Apologetics Live?
That's interesting. You know, as far as a false prophet in Revelation, I doubt it. I don't think so. I mean, I guess you couldn't rule it out, but that would not be my first guess. But Copeland Airlines, I got to say something funny. Some of y'all won't believe this. I have actually sat.
I was going to ask you to tell that.
I have actually sat in Kenneth Copeland's private jet before.
Yeah, you got to tell that story.
Not his newest one, but the previous model. So about 10 or so years ago, I was preaching at a friend of mine's church in North Fort Worth, which is where Kenneth Copeland's compound is. And my pastor friend, he asked me if I'd ever been on Kenneth Copeland's compound or at his church. I said, no, I haven't. He said, would you like to go? I was like, yeah, sure. Let's go. I've been there since. But anyway, so we went and we just drove right on the property.
Which I still can't believe that you could just.
I think they're more tight now, but.
Yeah, because you drove.
Yeah, because I was there. We drove right on and we went down, followed this road down to Kenneth Copeland's hangar. He has his own hangar in airport, basically. And the hangar was open. And I've always had a bit of an interest in aviation. I just kind of like it. One of my little pet hobbies. Not that I'm a pilot, but I think it's interesting. So anyway, we got out and we walk into the hangar. And there's two of Copeland's private jets, ski boats, motorcycles, fancy cars. He had another plane, like between World War I and World War II era, kind of a biplane. And that's just his toy. He just flies that around for fun. And, but anyway, there was this private jet. So my friend and I, we're standing there looking at the jet, and this lady walks up who works for Kenneth Copeland Ministry. She said, may I help you, gentlemen? And my friend said, yeah, I'm just here, you know, showing my buddy here Mr. Copeland's jet, and he likes airplanes, which is true. And she said, oh, okay. So she starts telling us about his jet. And then she says, would you like to sit in it? And I was like, yeah. And so she opens the door, and my buddy Randall is his name. Randall starts helping me up the steps. And next thing I know, I am sitting in Kenneth Copeland's private jet. I mean, think of the irony of that. You know,
did you get healed just being there?
Yeah.
No?
And, yeah. In the jet, I was walking around just fine. It's after I got out of the jet that I got crippled.
So is that why he needed a new one? Because the demons of Justin Peters.
Yeah, I messed up his anointing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I had a gospel track in my pocket, and I left it on the seat and walked out.
Because he does need the gospel. Danny says, my dear friend Kristen Bales is with us now. What's up? Now, I don't know if you remember Kristen. She is at
Pastor Steve's church up in Redwood City, California.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Okay.
So,
very cool.
So Danny just got moved. He's got kudos there for hanging out with her. Her whole family's great. Richard Story. Richard, by the way, is from the Voice of Reason radio podcast, which is a great podcast to listen to. And if you don't know Richard, I don't know if you know Richard. Richard was, I think, if I remember correctly, he was hit by a truck, if I remember correctly. But
yes.
He is in a wheelchair. Neat to see for the first time. I was actually, when he wanted to do open air evangelism, and he wanted to stand up with his Bible. And so he had two guys holding him up so that he could stand up and preach. But he asks, do you think the influence of charismatic teaching has caused the SBC to start down the slippery slope that it's currently on? Well, that's not too controversial of a topic.
But Richard, first, hey, brother. Blessings on you, my friend. Yes, I do. I absolutely do. I think what you're seeing in the SBC is what happens when a denomination affirms, at least theoretically, inerrancy, but it does nothing, says nothing about sufficiency. And the SBC, and I can pick on them a little bit. I was born, reared, educated SBC. I'm not SBC anymore, but I am. I was. The SBC is a... It's basically a functionally charismatic denomination because the vast majority of SBC folks believe that God speaks in dreams or visions or still small voices. And that is by definition, the practical implication of the charismatic position. Beth Moore is charismatic. Yeah. And she is the queen of the SBC. If the SBC had a female pope, it would be Beth Moore. And, I think that's absolutely a lot of what's going on. And now you're seeing the SBC dive headfirst into social justice and intersectionality and all this stuff. And it's just the SBC is on a fast downward trajectory. Fast.
Yeah.
And it's all because they have abandoned, or at least they have never affirmed the sufficiency of Scripture.
Yeah. And I'll just say this. For those of you who are interested in issues with SBC and some of that, my podcast that will come out this Sunday, Bud Alheim and I will be dealing with Al Mohler and some comments he made on the briefing. And let's just say Al Mohler may be a hypocrite. I'm sorry to say it, but you'll have to listen to the podcast. Al Mohler, what he said is right. It's just he won't address those same issues when it comes to other people within the SBC like Beth Moore. And so if you subscribe to the Wrap Report podcast Sunday, that will drop and that might be quite enlightening. We'll do two episodes on Al Mohler. From that one podcast. So this Facebook user says there's lots of churches, and he's got churches in quotes, promoting that the Bible makes us literally on fire. They use the word often, and it is becoming very popular in many conservative circles. Could you give us some thoughts on this?
Yeah. Yeah, usually when you see that God sending down fire, that's not a good thing for the recipients. Ask the prophets of Baal. This is a charismatic thing that they have adopted. Todd Bentley's ministry, in fact, is called Fresh Fire. So it's all fire, fire, fire. Well, you don't want the fire of God. It's a bad thing.
So we have a Facebook user here saying,
at least for them.
Yeah. Hi, Andrew and Justin, brother Joe from New Zealand and Australia. Praise God for your ministry. Definitely contact some churches. I want to go to New Zealand and Australia, please.
New Zealand is one of the most beautiful countries I've been to.
I know. I want to go.
It is a beautiful place.
We need a bunch of churches down there to just travel around the entire area.
Australia and New Zealand. Boy, feel for you guys in Australia. What's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is. Okay, so Rosie asks, hi, Justin, can you address people speaking the prophetic word into someone's life, please?
Yeah, the only prophetic word that should be spoken into someone's life is scripture. That's it. So if you want to speak a prophetic word to somebody, read scripture to them.
But wait a minute. You had a prophetic word for 2020 just recently.
Yeah, y'all go to my YouTube channel and search prophetic word. The title, God Gave Me a Prophetic Word for 2020. And reading some of the comments that people thought I had gone off the deep end. Like, what has happened to Justin? And it's
You did that, but you and I talked like a year or so ago about the idea. I had the idea that I wanted to on Monday start saying that I'd have a prophetic word on Friday, and then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, build up to it, and then we talked about it. I said the problem is that by Monday, by the time I get to Wednesday, people will have written me off altogether. So you did it well, just saying, here's a prophetic word and do it in one shot. Yeah. But that was great. I enjoyed it. So Jess says, would you say Pentecostal oneness is Christian?
No, it's not. Oneness Pentecostals deny the Trinity. Oneness Pentecostals are modalist. They hold to what's called modalism. They reject the Trinity. They believe that God just changes modes. In the Old Testament he had on his father hat. Then in the New Testament he put on his son hat, and now then he put on his Holy Spirit hat. They reject the Trinity. So if you reject the Trinity, you reject the God of the Bible. He is one being in three persons. So Oneness Pentecostals. If somebody understands what Oneness Pentecostalism teaches, then they cannot be Christian.
So KT asks, it's from YouTube, so it says at Striving Fraternity, what would you do if you're in a church, if a church you visited was doing a Priscilla Schreier study in the women's group? And I guess here I'm wondering, visiting, is it visiting to visit or visiting to preach? I could say this. I was in a church where I was the speaker. I was the guest speaker, and I didn't know some of their positions. And so I came in to speak and showed up early, ended up at the tail end of their Sunday school, found out that they believe in female pastors and some other things. And so I did ask just before if I had the freedom to preach whatever I think God's word said. And just before I got up to preach, they said yes. So I started preaching from 1 Timothy 2, a message that got me never invited back.
KT, what I would say is, if that were me, I guess maybe if you're looking for a new church, I don't know, but or visiting this church with thoughts of you might join it, that would certainly be a red flag for me. I wouldn't immediately write them off, because the larger church is, the more sometimes things can slip under the radar. But I would certainly want to know what's going on there. Do the leaders, the elders of the church know what's going on? Do they know what Priscilla Shire teaches? And if they're not aware, then tell them what she teaches and encourage them to do their own due diligence. It's really, it's not hard to find out what she teaches. And now if they stick to their guns and say, no, we have no problem with this, then I would be looking for another church.
All right, we've got one. The next question is going to be fun, but Facebook user here asked this question. How do you differentiate between healing a healing from God or from Satan/demonic healing? As you've said, you believe God heals today, but when is it his sovereign will to do so? Can you please explain?
Yeah. Okay. I'll push back a little bit on the premise of the question, because I do not believe that Satan or demons heal people. I don't believe that they heal people. Now, that having been said, we do know from Scripture, we see in the New Testament a couple of different places, that demons, whether it's Lucifer himself, you know, anyway, demons, Satan, they can cause illness. They can inflict illness. Now, they can only do what God allows them to do. You know, they're on a leash, and God is holding the other end of that leash. So they can only do what God allows them to do. But they can, apparently from Scripture, they can inflict sickness. Now, what better way to divert somebody's attention away from sound doctrine, away from the purity of the gospel, onto the sidebar things, signs and wonders and healing? What better way for demons to divert people's attention away from the gospel to those things than to have caused some kind of an illness in them, and then they simply withdraw? And simply by their withdrawal, the person recovers. That's not a healing. It's just the demon withdrawing from a person. But if the person thinks that that's a healing, oh, you know, and then they're, where are they? They're right into the health and wealth prosperity gospel. So I believe that that happens. But I don't, they can't heal. They can inflict sickness, and simply if they withdraw, then the body's natural ability to recover, you know, slowly over time, you would recover from that. But that's not a healing. That's a demonic distraction. I think that happens. Now, when God heals someone, if God truly healed, I'll tell a little story of something that happened to me. Andrew and I were in the Philippines in May. And when we were there, one day I lost use of my left arm, right?
Yeah.
I completely lost use of my left arm. Now, long story short.
So are you going to tell the part where I became a faith healer? I mean, I'm
not a very good faith healer. But I lost.
You got your strength back.
Yes. Thank you for going right to the first line. So, okay.
Sorry.
2 years ago, I had bulging discs in my C4, C5, C6 vertebra. I lost use of my right arm 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago now. And they did surgery. They fused those vertebra. I regained the use of my right arm. So that was about 3 years ago. Then in this past May, when we were in the Philippines, one day in the field, I lost use of my left arm. And because of my experience a couple of years before, I thought, oh boy, here we go again.
And it was getting gradually worse to a point where it was completely gone, right? Because, I mean, a lot of it.
I could do certain motions with my left arm, but I could not push down. I had no strength to push down. And I lost all the feeling in the fingers in my left hand. All my fingers were numb. I couldn't feel them. There was a couple of doctors in the church that we were at, and they did an MRI.
Yeah, I forgot about that. You got a gift of an MRI. They didn't even charge you.
They didn't charge me.
There was a doctor just took him. Just, hey, look, we'll take you right over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did an MRI on me.
He made me do more preaching.
The results came back, and and sure enough, I have two more bulging discs. This time, one just above and one just below where I had the disc bulging 2 years ago. And so anyway, after I get back stateside, call my doctor, the same guy that did my surgery previously, told him what was going on, sent him the MRI results. He had to come in, and sure enough, two more bulging discs. And I'm scheduled for surgery August the 8th of 2019. And but then one day, all of a sudden, literally all of a sudden, about 2 weeks before surgery, all of a sudden I realized I've got my strength back. I can use my left arm. I can push down. And the feeling in my fingers came back. And I let it go a couple of days, and it maintained. And so I call up my surgeon and I say, Dr. Larson, I'm not real sure what to make of this, but I've got all the strength back in my left arm. The feeling has returned in my fingers. And he said, well, come in, let's take a look. So I went in, gave me an exam. Gave me a few strength tests, and he said, well, as long as you don't have symptoms, we're not going to do surgery. And so my surgery was canceled. And so here we are now, about 5 months later. I've still got all my strength, still have my feeling. One of two possibilities, as I said.
You skipped the part that I prayed for you on the plane for healing. You skipped that part. See, that was an important part. I prayed for
you. You did.
And so, but what a great faith healer I could be if I healed Justin Peters.
Yeah, but you didn't.
No, I know people are going to say, but he's still walking with crutches. But I didn't want to heal your legs because you might chase me after all the abuse I've given you. So that's, I mean, it's clear why I wouldn't.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, many people were praying for me, and so there's only two possibilities. One, those bulging discs, at least one of the bulging discs that was pressing on my spinal column, just moved a little bit and relieved the pressure. And that's how I've got my strength back and my feeling. That's possible. The other possibility is that God healed me. I haven't had another MRI, which would tell the tale, but the doctor didn't order one. So I don't, as of right now, I don't know which of those two possibilities it is. I don't know. Time will tell. I suppose if God didn't heal me and it's just that disc moved a little bit, then eventually it'll probably move back and I'll have the same problem. I have to have surgery again. So time will tell. I don't know. I have no problem with believing that God may have healed me, but I'm not saying he did. I don't know. Whatever it is, here's what it is. The bottom line, it's a good, merciful providence of God. And I'm grateful for it. Whatever it is, I'm grateful for it.
Okay, so I like this next question coming in from Pastor Aaron. He's up in the Seattle, Washington area. He says, Andrew, if Justin tried to treat you to lunch, would you let him or fight him? Asking for a friend.
Asking for a friend.
I think that friend is probably Mr. Matt Slick. But why don't you explain? You know, Matt may feel bad when you explain this answer, but
it's been very difficult. I finally managed to pay for a meal last night. I paid for our dinner last night, but it's very difficult to get.
But that was because I had a word from the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
If, for folks who don't know, there's a new podcast that we're doing. Is all the Christian podcast community podcasters called Theology Throwdown. It'll start dropping next Tuesday, once a month. And we'll drop all the first three episodes. And on that third episode, I prophesied that that Justin would buy me fine sushi this week. And so it happened. See, Aaron, so you just need a prophecy to happen there. There you go. Aaron later in had comments like, be nice to Anthony. So we got, this was Joel Gass, and I guess he switched over to YouTube. He says, I switched to YouTube. You're invited to Nicaragua. Good. I'd like to go. I like this next question for you, Justin. Andrew asks, Andrew, ask Justin when he's going to get a new episode of Didache up. Keep those coming. Okay. Andy. Well, Andy says, you butchered my name. Andy, I have no idea because I never pronounce Andy's last name. Lonzaski, who knows? It's a crazy name. Who knows? Okay, so here's a question from Daryl. He's from the What Are We Even Doing Here podcast on Christian Podcast Community. And Daryl says, hey, guys, this is Daryl. Karen and I are watching. She wants to know if your wives will be at G3. My wife will be there. For the record, my wife, Daryl, will be there. Justin?
I don't know. Possibly. I'm not sure. this is a real busy time of year. Kathy does all the paperwork of the ministry, all the stuff that I'm allergic to, she does.
Is that how that works?
Yeah.
I got to be allergic to it. Okay.
And she wants to come. We're still kind of trying to figure that out, but possibly 50-50 coin flip at this point,
You did say, I think yesterday you said, I really got to book my flights to G3.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have an answer tomorrow.
Today's tomorrow. Yeah. I've been busy all day. I haven't been able to talk to Kathy.
Man, what were you busy doing? All right. So here's one from Chad. If people speak in tongues, that would mean they aren't converted.
Would that mean
they're not converted from a brother in PA? I think we actually, Chad, we answered that earlier. So if you go back and re-listen either on YouTube or get the podcast version, which this should drop as a podcast tomorrow. We kind of answered that one. Here we got Dake says, so edifying listening to both of you guys. Hope one day you will have a conference in Miami. There's a real easy way to make that happen. You get a church to invite us to come. It's really that easy. We don't
I've been to Miami.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
I've been to Miami too, but not to speak.
Yeah, I preached at a church, Miami Bible Church. David Diaz is the pastor.
Okay.
I would love to come back. Would love to come back.
And for the record, neither Justin nor I have speaking fees. So like people always think they can't afford, you know, at least for me, I usually just ask that at least they try to cover the travel expenses. I think you're kind of similar that way. Right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So let's see. Here we go. Watching this, now, if I don't know if you remember her, Ledesma. Lorraine was actually, I think is her name, but watching from the Philippines, missing both you guys, both your wisdom and sense of humor. Awesome to see the two of you again. Haha. And taking notes. So she is with the radio station that interviewed us.
Yep.
She was the one that interviewed me. You had the, somehow they must've known our personalities. You had the more serious interviewer interviewing you. And I had the one that was more, playful, more joking around and more fitting.
Great to hear from you. God bless y'all.
Okay. So I can't pronounce that name. I don't read Japanese. How's your Japanese?
I don't know any.
Okinawa. Yeah. So watching from Okinawa, Japan, do you have any videos produced specifically for Joseph Prince? A clip we can share with our friends who are fond of learning from him. Praising and thanking the Lord for your ministry. Thanks for reading.
Yes, I do. There's I have a couple of clips of Joseph Prince in my DVD, Clouds Without Water 2, that was recorded back in 2016. So yes, he is Word of Faith. He's Health and Wealth, Prosperity Gospel. He's clever because he knows, he seems to know more than a lot of the other ones do, but he is a false teacher. Yeah. But there is a little bit of him in my seminar, Clouds Without Water, too.
All right. Jeffrey asks.
Especially there in Japan.
Yeah. We were trying to get to Japan this year. It didn't work out. So wherever you are in Japan, if you know some churches down there, I was close to going. We were trying to work it out with the Olympics being there, but just didn't work out. So Jeffrey, in light of the issue of meals, asks, has Matt Slick ever treated either of you to a meal? Has Matt Slick ever treated you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty sure he did at the boardwalk that night.
Yeah. I know he's never treated me.
Has he not?
Oh no. There's some videos of us fighting over the bill. I have succeeded every time. Matt will eventually buy me a meal and I will deserve so much abuse. I mean, so much abuse. Because I give Matt a lot of abuse. I mean, I give Justin a little bit of abuse. If you want to see it, go to justiniwin.com. That website right there. There's a video you can watch that explains it. You get to see Justin choking me unconscious. It was horrible.
Oh. What does Dwayne say?
Dwayne was answering Price on because we're so far behind in comments. Dwayne says depends on who's asking. LOL. Just don't call us the C word. So I wasn't sure what that was. I'm forgetting. That was a while back. We mentioned Dwayne. Okay. So I don't.
Anyway, Dwayne, can't wait to see you, man.
Maybe he means the Calvinist word.
Maybe it's.
Calvinist. I don't know. So.
Oh, I bet that's in response to the reform.
Yeah, because they're seeing some others here that are. So let's see. So it looks like so. Dwayne was on Facebook there, and then we see he went to YouTube there. So he must have been watching on a couple ones here, just popping back and forth. Okay, so this is from Melissa, who we asked a question earlier about the distance. And she said, no churches
in my area that are not Pentecostal, I drive an hour to this current church. It might be time to move. I don't know.
That's tough. I mean,
it's hard. You know, look, there's moving. There's, you know, a lot of times, you know, folks, we have self-limitations. And there's times where we put a limitation on ourselves to say, oh, I can't go there because my job is holding me here, my family or something. We have to decide what's important. And there's times where we say, you know what, we move. And if you can't move and you can't find a good church, maybe you and work with, you know, some seminaries to bring someone in and plant a church, start a church. So those are some options that you could always try. Brenda, and I'm not sure if this is just based on the last name. I don't know if she's going to be joining us to Israel, but that name looks familiar. Some Canadians that are coming to Israel with us. But Justin, I can't wait for the new website. And what's that? Oh, what's that other word there, Justin? I can't wait for the new website and what?
Podcast.
Oh, okay. We need your encouragement. I thank you guys for helping me, because it's usually just me giving him the hard times. Okay. Show of hands. Who thinks he should start his podcast like the new ones now? I should do this hand so you can see it. Raise your hand.
You're the only hand that's on. Oh, I am. It's coming. Thank you for the encouragement, though. I'm glad at least I'll have a few listeners.
Yeah, let's see. We have a ton of these. Let me try and get. Okay, so here's a question. Let me get to Joel. Asked this question. I know Striving Fraternity has a Patreon account for receiving support. Is that your favorite way to receive support from individuals? Actually, no. We don't have a favorite way. You could go to strivingforeternity.org/donate. And donate to us, PayPal, Patreon, send a check. Whatever works easiest for you is what works for us. If you want to donate to Justin Peters, instead of going to his website, go to justiniwin.com, because there's a link right there to his donation page. And make sure in the comments somewhere, just put comments in that say, hashtag JustinIwin, you know. So... just for fun, Justin will really appreciate that. If you don't get that, you have to go to justiniwin.com to watch the video that explains it. Let's see. So here is, oh, that's written to Andrew. So, let's see if we get any more questions. Okay. Here's one. I don't know if you're ready to give an answer, or if you think about this, but a Facebook user says, why did Achan's family die? Also, because of his sin in Joshua chapter 7. So I don't know if you...
I'd have to, yeah, we, have to refresh. I'd, it's been...
Yeah, I'd want to have to go look that up. So I don't get this one. I don't know who Facebook user is, but it's like soap opera, Andrew. So that's probably something we said earlier on. Let's see. Okay, Rosie says, hey, Andrew Rapport and Justin Peters, can you please speak regarding those who speak the prophetic word? And, oh, we had that one already, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so did they, maybe they asked it again, or did we? I don't think we scrolled over. Here we go. This is a funny one. I'll tell a story about this question, and then you can answer it. But Facebook user says, what are your thoughts about Francis Chan and his agreement with the Roman Catholic belief of transubstantiationism? And so the podcast that drops, I think it's this Sunday. No, next Sunday. Next Sunday, we deal with Al Mohler and social justice. And I was trying to use an illustration in there. Al Mohler is saying, like, look who I platform with, look at where I've been, and that should justify where he is now. And I tried to come up with an example, and I'm trying to think of an example of somebody who seemed solid years ago but isn't today, and I just throw out Francis Chan. not
realizing what had was going on with Francis Chan. So next morning I called Bud and I texted Bud. I'm like, Francis Chan is agreeing with the Catholic Church on Lord's Supper. And he's like, oh, I thought you knew that. That's why you used him as an example. And I went, no, but it makes the argument much stronger now. So yeah, I know you had some views on this because we talked.
Yeah, I just saw a short clip of Francis Chan talking about transubstantiation and how it's the real presence and that kind of thing. I haven't seen the full video of that sermon, in full disclosure. I'm not seeing it. What I have seen is troubling, greatly so. But honestly, I didn't even need that to be troubled by Francis Chan. I'm already immensely troubled by his partnership with and endorsement of Mike Bickle, of IHOP, mm-hmm. of Benny Hinn, Todd White. Todd White is another one that is just so manifestly obvious a false teacher. And Francis Chan calls him a, quote, great, great man of God. This is a guy who goes around on the street lengthening people's legs. That's an old parlor trick that charlatans have been doing for decades. He's an obvious false teacher. And Francis Chan calls him his brother. So, I mean, it's kind of like with Michael Brown and all these others that he won't call out and calls them his brothers. I mean, if you think Todd White is a great, great man of God, I have no interest in anything you have to tell me about the Bible. Yeah, none.
Okay, so Ivan Town, this is a two-parter, so we'll have to read this also. He says, hey, guys, love you both. So fun to have you both on here. I know someone where their church has been using more Hillsong worship. They are specifically using ones that are theologically accurate in lyrics. Example, Man of Sorrows. But it's really hard for this person to deal with during worship service. Any advice other than run? That would be my advice off the bat.
I wouldn't necessarily run from a church immediately the first time
they do
a Hillsong. I would not do that. I strongly encourage people in churches, do not play Hillsong music in your church. Do not play Jesus Culture, because these things, they come from false churches. They come from cults. And even if some of their songs will pass a doctrinal smell test, and quite honestly, some of them do. You know, not all of them, but some of them do. It's very dangerous to sing their music, because you put the lyrics up on the screen and the unsuspecting person sitting out there in the pew, they're looking up Sunday morning, reading the lyrics, singing along, and then they see in the fine print, because they always have, they legally have to put this up there.
Mm-hmm.
They see in the fine print music by Hillsong. Oh, Hillsong. Well, I think I'll check them out. They must be okay. We're singing their music, right? And so they use their music as their own perverted form of evangelism. They use their music as a hook to pull people into their false theological system. So, brother, if I were you, what I would do, I would go to the leadership, go to the music director, the pastor, the elders, and lovingly, gently, not in an accusatory way, not saying you would, just anybody watching, lovingly explain to them what Hillsong is, and point them to some resources so they can see it, and ask them, please don't sing this. Please, please reconsider singing this stuff. And hopefully they would do that. So
now, none of you are actually coming in. You should come in. This is a live show where you're supposed to come in and ask questions. We're taking them all in. So Richard Story says, female Pope, I will use that. Love it. To which KT says, love Voice of Reason Radio, Chris Honholds and Richard Story. They were kind of half the team. There wasn't balance in the universe because it was just Chris. But Chris was doing that because I gave him a hard, I've been giving him a hard time as well. They got consistent where they were doing, we started doing weekly shows, but they'd replay shows. And I kind of got on Chris a little bit. And so he did a show by himself to make sure that the first year they had a show. So here's a question from Marlon Wilson. He's with
The Gospel Truth, if you listen to that, it's a podcast. And also he's got a YouTube channel. I've done a couple debates and interviews there. So Marlon says, what would be a approach to begin dialogue concerning Word of Faith nonsense? I have many family members who follow different individuals that are a part of this movement.
Yeah. Thank you, Marlon. Great question. What I like to do with people is start with something very simple and concrete, just to kind of get a feel for where they are in their willingness to submit to God's word. And I'll start with something easy like healing, physical healing. And I'll ask them, do you believe that it's always God's will to be healed? And they will inevitably say yes, because that's a theology. And then I'll show them examples of faithful servants of God all throughout the Bible who were not healed, who were sick and who were not healed. Moses, Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. Elisha, 2 Kings 13, died of an illness. David, several places. Psalm 71. The Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy, or wrote to Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach and your frequent ailments. And then the Apostle Paul himself in Galatians 4:13 had a bodily illness. Flat out says he was sick. I have a bodily illness. And so then I ask him, what do you do with that? And so now the ball's in their court. They're going to have to decide, who am I going to believe? This prosperity preacher, this word faith guy I've been listening to, or what I see in black and white right in front of me in scripture? And generally, you're going to get one of two responses. And I've had both. I've had people literally, I show them these things in scripture, and I've literally had people say, I don't care what that says. I know God wouldn't make people sick. My God wouldn't make anybody sick. And I think, well, you're right. Your God wouldn't, but the God of the Bible would. So if their heels are dug in, if they refuse to have their theology corrected from scripture, then there's no other card to play. There's nowhere else to go after that. You know, talk about the weather, talk about who won the ball game, but you can't talk about theology because they're not willing to have their theology corrected from scripture. But on the other hand, if you get a response, something more like, wow, I don't know. I've never seen that before. I've never thought about that before. You know, if you sense some humility before scripture, a willingness to bend their knee to the truth, then that's what you hope to see. That's what you want to see. And you spend more time with that person digging deeper into the Word of God. And that's kind of what you're looking for, is just a willingness to think from that person to think, wow, you know, maybe I do need to take another look at this. That tells me that they're at least willing to bend their knee to scripture, and which is a hallmark of a believer. So,
all right. Before we get to Andrew, who came in, he's a regular. Daryl asks a question. Daryl from the What Are We Even Doing Here podcast, who he hasn't been podcasting in a while. They've been kind of busy with life. They have some foster kids. And so he asked this question: what will happen first? Will we drop a new episode of What Are We Even Doing Here or a new Didache?
Oh.
What do you think? What's your prediction?
I'm not sure of his time frame. Mine, Lord willing. I don't want to. I'm Lord willing it. I'm hoping in about 2 weeks.
All right.
Maybe sooner than that. But I'm hoping about 2 weeks.
All right. I'm going to bring Andrew in. Hello, Andrew. Andrew is from Australia.
Hello, Andrew.
Hey. So.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, Andrew. How are you, brother?
So, what questions?
Yeah,
do you
not
have
too
for
bad
tonight.
Well, unfortunately, I'm from the Hillsong side of things. Unfortunately, the birthplace of it, which has never sat well with me. I've never actually agreed with a lot of it, and a lot of the Bethel stuff is what my church actually sings too. And I guess I've tried to deal it with the church and within the elders. And I guess some of the songs we stopped singing, I think. I guess my question is, NAR churches, warning signs to look out for if your church is becoming it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Great question, brother. Warning signs. I would say several things. If you start hearing things like God spoke to me, God told me something, that's a big red flag mm-hmm. with me. Boy, my antennas go up really fast when I hear that.
I agree.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now let's qualify. You're saying from a pastor, because like we did the Theological Throwdown podcast where we talked about hearing from God, and we did make some distinction that there's some people who just have bad language because they just that's all they know. So you're saying when you're hearing it from a pulpit,
when you're hearing
leadership,
it from the pulpit, when you're hearing it from the leadership, that's a big red flag. If you notice a diminishing of sin, not much talk about sin, not much talk about the wrath of God, that's a big red flag. If you start hearing things like, Jeremiah 29:11, and, taking that out of context, and God wants, to bless you, not to harm you, give you a future and a hope, all that kind of stuff. That would be some of the milder stuff, but nonetheless very, 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 very concerning because it tells me the direction this church is going. Obviously, some of the
I haven't seen that in any in my church specifically.
You say you have not?
Not yet. But we've just gone through it.
Like you're saying, if they're playing like for example, let's say they start playing Hillsong, and you talk to the leadership and they recognize that Hillsong is a cult and it's bad, but they still think the music is good and okay. Well, that might show the start where they're not discerning and they're starting to allow things in slowly. And so that's that chipping away. You'll see things that when you have a leadership that starts making excuses for things, especially things that especially if you hear them say, well, we know that's bad, but that's a beginning point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because my church has been usually solid. Like I said, we've appointed a youth pastor, so he starts, I think, this week or next week. At some point this year, he starts. We've just gone through senior pastor stuff as well, and the associate pastor stepped up to help. We've had a lot of changes, too.
Yeah. A lot of it does happen in
the old pastor was doing a lot of quirky stuff.
Yeah, a lot of times this happens.
Yeah, we need youth minister, definitely, because we didn't have one. We went down to two ministers for a while. We had three at one point. And so we had the senior, the assistant, and the lady who takes care of the counselors and the counseling side of things, which my church offers. I'm not trying to defend it. I'm just trying to I don't know what the word is. I don't want to leave the church, really, unless it does start those big warning signs. And if I see them, I will run.
Yeah.
And I guess that's really, really the best that I can do, isn't it? Just keep my eye open.
Well, try to meet with your leadership, try to get to help them. Let me give you the side of a pastor. Pastors often are being bombarded by a lot of people, and it's hard. It's not easy. And they have a lot of people asking them we got to be involved in this ministry, this ministry, this ministry. And sometimes they get worn out, they get burnt out, and they get tired, and they're not always doing what's right sometimes because they're doing what's easy. They're being bombarded all the time. So having someone come alongside them and lift them up and support them and, encourage them to do what's right. Maybe sometimes that's all that's needed. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's, something you can do.
Well, he's also overseas at the moment.
Yeah. Well, when he gets back.
So I don't know when he's due back.
Yeah.
When he gets back, I'll have to talk to him. Because, I mean, there was one particular song, I think it's called So Will I, where they start trying to mix evolution into it and billions of years.
That's a red flag.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily in a red flag. That's just a liberalism red flag, theological liberalism.
Yeah. Ashgrove Baptist Church is the name of my church.
Okay.
However, Dan Patterson is one of our former pastors, and he works for RZIM now as a apologist.
Oh.
And he's a great guy, very approachable. The very reason I went to the church was because he was there. And he was very friendly, very approachable, and he's a really nice guy to add to boot.
Yeah.
So I have very little issue actually with not specifically with people, but we did also have women elders passed about a year and a half ago.
They allow for women pastors?
Women elders.
Yeah, that's there's enough. That's I would actually say that's past the red flag.
I'm thinking that it's like they don't play as much a role as a male does, for example, but they are allowed to be in.
That's a tough one to say that there's not serious issue there.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not saying there's not a serious issue. I'm just saying is that really, you know, I mean, there's a local Presbyterian church within walking distance that unfortunately one closed, but the next one is probably closer than this church that I go to at the moment, but it's kind of tough to decide.
Yeah, well, I would recommend a Presbyterian church over a bad Baptist church any day.
Yeah. I came from the Presbyterian. I've done the hop quite a bit.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
but anyway.
Because we got 20 minutes left to try to get to. We got a lot of questions here. So thanks, Andrew. We'll see you next
time. No problem. Week. Thanks for having me.
Huh?
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Andrew.
Andrew always comes in. So let's see. We got a couple. I'm going to try to, we'll try to get through some of these quicker. There's some that I noticed. Okay. So Derek says, for years now, I've supported a friend's campus ministry. He leads it, but for those years, he continued to sit under an Assembly of God pastor, shows little to no discernment, recently gave applause to a new Heavenly Tourism book. You need to get...
No, just...
Okay. Over this time, my friend has continued to grow in his denomination beliefs and deny sound doctrine, also showing little discernment and a hyper love attitude toward false teachers. Should I continue supporting his ministry? I would say justinpeters.org and then go to the donate bar. That's what I would say. I would say that would be a very good use of your support.
Definitely not be supporting that guy. No.
Yeah.
No. That's a shocking lack of discernment. So
Bad what? Bad what?
Juju.
Bad juju. Okay. I knew you were gonna rip on the jujus again. You know? Okay, so here Facebook user just says, what does Priscilla Schreier teach? If you could just briefly go over that one.
Priscilla Schreier and Beth Moore are two peas in a pod, basically. I mean, they pretty much teach the same thing. They're very, very similar. Priscilla Schreier teaches that you can learn how to hear the voice of God outside of Scripture. She has this whole series on that, in fact. And so that for me is disqualifying.
Okay.
And she's, you know, big in the social justice stuff and all that.
So Daryl just says, this is from, what are we even doing here podcast? Love you, brothers. Thank you for your ministry. Keep preaching the truth of God.
Thank you, Daryl.
Cody from Texas says, enjoyed Justin's walk through
the Jehovah Witnesses. That's on your old podcast. That's on the podcast feed mm-hmm. for Didache and on your flash drive. From that series, will you have him elaborate on his position on his age of accountability and justification for it? Also, I'd like him to talk about his position on pledging allegiance to a flag. I've changed my position on that and agree with him. So if you could briefly go over those.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed the witnessing to the witnesses. that was interesting.
That was fun.
Yeah. Did you listen to that?
Yeah.
You did?
So you're surprised that I listened to your stuff?
Well, I don't know. I didn't know. I don't recall you saying anything about it.
I did tell you I listened to all the podcasts, make sure they were good. Yeah, so I know that I listened.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah. Age of accountability, you know, it's not explicitly taught in Scripture. I've kind of, and others like John MacArthur have inferred it from, you know, when in the Old Testament Jewish tradition, custom, when a child began to transition to an adult, was considered to be an adult round about the year, you know, age 12.
It's hard when you have this age of accountability thing that isn't in the Bible.
Well, right? No, it's not. it's not explicitly taught.
The joke here is this is one of the very few areas Justin and I disagree on something. So.
There is a clear distinction in Scripture contrast between the nature of children, the nature of salvation, conversion. Paul says, when I was a child, I used to think like a child, reason like a child, talk like a child, but when I became a man, I did away with childish things. You know, their children think like children, you know, very childish thinking. A 5-6-year-old child is not going to be able to wrestle with sin, God, eternity.
That's because you don't know the new thing. You had transgenderism. Do you know what the new thing is now? Transageism, where you have, no, I'm not kidding. This is new, where you have people. Oh, yeah. You have people that think they really are 5 and 6 year olds. Yeah. Living in cribs as adults. Okay, I digress.
Living in cribs?
Yeah. There's some guy who's a grandfather and he thinks he's an 8-year-old girl. Oh, sorry, a 6-year-old girl. And so someone adopted him into his family. No, the culture's not going insane.
Yeah. Anyway, now, thank you. I lost my train of thought.
Okay, so your train of thought was that we think as a child.
Yeah. Okay.
At least one of us was paying attention to what he was saying.
I mean, a 5, 6, 7 year old child is, think about it this way. Children age 5, 6, and 7, they believe in Santa Claus. If they're taught about Santa Claus, they believe in it. So their intellectual capacity is such that it allows for the belief in a fat man in a red suit who goes all around the world, visits every home in one night on a sled pulled by a team of flying reindeer. Their intellectual capacity allows for belief in that. And we're going to trust that same child who believes in that mm-hmm. to wrestle with eternity, godly sorrow over sin, repentance, the wrath of God. No, I'm sorry. There's just no way. Anyway,
should I give resources? Cody, a good book to get is go to Justin's website, justinpeters.org, and get his book on childhood conversion. I think that even though there are some things he and I disagree on, it is actually an excellent work on explaining all the details. It's going to explain in much more detail than here. So the book is Do Not Hinder Them, so by Justin Peters. So get that.
Yeah.
Not good. All right.
Here's a good question.
Let me get this. This one I'll just answer quickly with by diverting it. Melissa's question is, how do we answer people with regards to Muslims having visions of Jesus? What I'll say here, unless you wanted to answer it here, I'll just say that we're going to address this in greater detail on the Theological Throwdown podcast that will come out Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So we get into a lot of detail on that one, and Justin explains that in much more detail than we have time in the 10 plus minutes we have left. But is there anything you want to say on that here?
Is that the good question that you wanted
to answer?
Well, yeah, but I forgot about us talking about it. So yes, Melissa, thank you very much. Great question. We will, as Andrew said, deal with it much more in depth, but suffice it to say right here, I am beyond skeptical, and I put no weight in these claims of Muslims having visions of Jesus, none at all. But I'll flesh that out more in detail as to why I don't.
Yeah, on that podcast. So Theology Throwdown is the name of the podcast. Just to get it on your podcast app, if you can get it now. Jason says, nice seeing Andrew and Justin together again. So that's because I always look better when he's near me because he looks so good and I don't. So, okay. Oh, I don't even see. I just like this one. Just one quick. Facebook user, dear Andrew and Justin and Andrew, what exactly is hashtag Justin I Win? Well, okay, I'll quickly just say, if you go to justiniwin.com, there's a video that explains the whole history, and there's some fun pictures. And if you watch the one video and keep watching, there's another video where while we were in the Philippines, you know how people say cheese? Yeah, instead they said on three, they said Justin I Win. So that was brilliant. I loved it. All right. So KT asks, are you doing the Justin I Win thing for Shepherd's Conference again? If so, what will you do this time? Yeah, that's where it started. And see, people like the Justin I Win. Basically, what Justin I Win is if you guys donate money to Justin's website donate money to his ministry, just put hashtag Justin I Win and I get the bragging rights. We keep trying to outgive each other. And so I'm calling on all of you to help me give to Justin. That's really what Justin I Win is. I want to tell Justin I Win. I want bragging rights and I need your help. So that's basically, in a sense, in short, that's what it is. So let's see. There were some questions here. Lorraine from Philippines says, time to go to work, and yes, saved radio in the Philippines. Thank you. Thank you for your time and to give question conversation. Sir Andrew, still finishing the book you gave me, but thanks again. God bless the two of you and the rest of the 2020 journey. The book I gave her was What Do We Believe? Okay, so someone wants to know, Chris wants to know, Justin, are you going to talk MacArthur into doing a Strange Fire conference? Stranger Fire conference. Okay.
Yeah, Mark. Chris, I don't have that much pull with MacArthur, but
you don't talk MacArthur into doing much. You just
no. But I hope they do. I hope they. It would be great for them to do another Strange Fire Part 2 or Stranger Fire. Touched on some of those issues in the Truth Matters conference on dealing with the sufficiency of Scripture, but I'd be all for it.
Oh, see, look at this, KT hashtag Justin I Win. So you know that's good. Let's see, there was a couple that I saw. We're putting Justin to sleep. He didn't get much sleep last night, so just so you guys know. He's staying up for you guys. I know I saw some and it flipped by quickly. Here we go. All right. So from a Facebook user, what preachers do you recommend are good to listen to?
Not Charles Finney.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a guy, Charles Finney, in here who's just, yeah, okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But
John MacArthur.
I'd agree.
R.C. Sproul didn't agree with him on everything, but
R.C. Sproul. But he agrees with us now.
He agrees with us now on infant baptism.
Yep.
Yeah.
And a whole lot of other things.
And we think eschatology. So anyway, but yeah, I mean, you got to love R.C. Sproul, John MacArthur, Steve Lawson, Fody Balcom. You know, those are some of the well-known names. Phil Johnson is a great preacher.
Excellent preacher.
Excellent preacher. And there's some known names that, you know, my pastor, Jim Osman, O-S-M-A-N. Go to, now I have to spell this because I know you won't, kootenychurch.org. That's the church that my wife and I were a part of until we moved recently to Montana. It's K-O-O-T-E-N-A-I, church.org. Jim Osmond's a pastor, very good friend of mine, and I tell you, he's one of the best preachers I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Nobody knows about him, and there's a ton of preachers out there like that, by the way. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm appreciative. I love the big names, you know, the big name guys. I appreciate them. I love them. They're good guys. But I tell you what, there's a ton of preachers out there that are just as good, just mm-hmm. as good. They're just not known. And I tell you, I really have a heart for these guys. Jim Osmond is one. And, you know, it's, but anyway, go to kootenychurch.org. And he's going through Hebrews right now. It is fantastic.
I would add to that, Justin Peters, excellent, excellent exegete of scripture. But let me give you an encouragement. You know who's the best pastor to listen to? Your pastor. A lot of people supplement what they hear on Sunday with someone they hear on the radio 5-6 days a week, and your pastor is the one who is pouring, he's the one who's spending time, or should be at least, pouring into your life, pouring into having to help you know God's word. He's the one pouring in that you would be growing in your spiritual knowledge and your spiritual maturity. He's the one you should be listening to the most. So yeah. I would say your pastor is who should be the most.
It's Charles Finney, guys. He came on regularly.
No, first time someone on Facebook. So
Charles Finney, check out your burned over districts. Those are fun.
Yeah. So this will probably be the last question for the evening. Maybe not, but we'll see. James White supports Michael Brown. What does that make him, false teacher or confused? Now, I'm just really curious to your answer to that one.
You're on the spot, aren't you?
no pressure, but I was just, hey, I can't help they asked it. Would you like to go to Charlie Finney's questions instead?
Well,
his nonsense he's coming up with. I mean, he has a lot of.
I've had very, very little time, very, very little time one-on-one with Dr. White, James White.
So it's hard to say.
I've not talked to him about it. Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I think
we all have blind spots.
That's what I was going to say.
Blind spots.
You and I talked about that. You know,
I think that's a blind spot.
I think, yeah, and I think this is, like, you and I had talked about this in the past, and I think that he's got, it's a blind spot that people have when you're friends with someone. You can have a blind spot and overlook areas that you disagree, or overlook things that you should say to them and you don't. And so the reality is that, you know, that is something we have to be aware of. You guys here who watch regularly know Matt Slick and I disagree on lots of things. There's things people have asked me, will I call Matt out on it publicly? I have no need to, because I call things out to him privately. That's where it should be handled. Areas where he and I disagree don't have to all be public. And I, you know, I wish that James White would be saying, hey, I talked to Michael privately about things I disagree with, you know, and we do handle it. So unfortunately, I'm not hearing that.
There's one that I probably know. I don't think I've ever been asked. Yeah.
This one here?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was going to bring them up. So Rod asks, I'd like to know Justin's source for Benny Hinn's
conjuring up the ghost of Catherine Kuhlman. Now,
yeah, Catherine Kuhlman was a faith healer in the 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s. Pretty well recognized. She was responsible for ending at least one marriage and manifestly unqualified to do what she was doing. False teacher. Benny Hinn. Catherine Kuhlman was Benny Hinn's model in ministry. They never met personally. She died shortly before they were, I think, supposed to meet. He never met her personally, but he went
I'm just looking for Mr. Finney.
So he went to her meetings. And if you look at old film of Catherine Kuhlman and watch Benny Hinn today, they're basically the same person. Catherine Kuhlman wore a white dress. He wears a white suit. Or used to anyway, up until recently. But it's in his book. I believe that story is in Good Morning, Holy Spirit.
I believe that's where he's asking for the source.
Yeah, I think that it's in my master's thesis that I wrote. It's been a long time, so I'm pretty sure it's Good Morning, Holy Spirit. I couldn't tell you the page number. I'd have to look it up.
Okay. So just so you know, Pastor Armand just started watching.
Armand.
Like, brother. Now he 2 minutes left and he comes in.
I love Armand.
I know he's great. Not only him, his whole family is great. The kids are like,
oh, 20. Yeah, the whole family.
By the way, for New Year's Eve, I got a New Year's Eve gift. His little son actually said more than two words to me.
I got three.
We're working on it. I said, but next time I want five. That's the goal. So let me end it this way. If you guys want to join Justin and I, for two whole weeks, you can do that when we go to Israel in March of 2021. We're both going. Dr. Silvestro is going to be going and doing some speaking as well. And you could join us. Just go to 2021israeltrip.com, 2021israeltrip.com. And that's where you could get all the details. It is, yes, it's a tad bit expensive, but the thing is that it covers basically everything, but I think lunch. I think one of the lunches is covered, but your breakfasts, your dinners, the hotels, flights out of New York. Now, if you don't fly out of New York, you can save money and you could go to, you could just meet us in Tel Aviv. And so that's an option as well. So, you know, if you want to join us, go to 2021israeltrip.com. Now, for the month of January, they're doing something where, because of, I guess, Christmas, figure people don't have as much money on hand. The down payment is now only $300, not $500, for this month only, for January only. So it'll be $300, and you have till Thanksgiving to cancel. So you have a long time to consider if you can't make it. I think it's $125 is non-refundable. You've been there before. I've been there before under very different circumstances. You were there with Christians looking and teaching Christianity. I was there with a family that was trying to bring me back into Judaism, or bring all of us back into Judaism. Very different circumstance. But we'll be going together, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be one of those once-in-a-lifetime experiences. So if you can do it, we'd love to have you come with us and join us. And so to close out, go to justinpeters.org. Check out everything Justin has. Be going there, like clicking on it every day, waiting for the new website. Click, 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 click. And subscribe to Didache. Yes, since none of you could spell it, get your podcast app and just search Justin Peters. And you'll find it that way. Anything you want to say before we close out?
No, thank all of you for watching, and your questions is encouraging for me. I appreciate all the kind comments and enjoyed it. God bless you all.
So thanks for watching. Next week, I don't know what we're going to – next week we probably won't have a show because we'll both be at G3. And so I probably won't have a show. And I don't know what we'll do on that week after, but do keep listening to just go to apologeticslive.com. I do keep that up to date with what the topics are going to be and what we're going to be doing, when we're going to have a show, when we're not. So, here we go. Here, before we close out, there's one for Chris. If Richard Story is still watching, KT says, is Justin Peters going to be a guest on Voice of Reason Radio? I wish. KT, I agree with you. I think that's a brilliant idea. And a Facebook user says,
hard to do it.
Facebook user says, who can't spell Didache? So there he did. He spelled Didache right there.
Who can't spell
Didache? Yeah, so he did. So, but so folks, I appreciate you. And we'll see you next time that we're on. Keep practicing your apologetics. Keep being ready to defend the faith. And be praying for Justin. He's got a couple trips coming up. It's going to be busy time. So thanks for watching. Hope it was helpful and educational.
Good morning, Holy Spirit. Benny Hinn has said it several other occasions, but anyway, I think that's...
Oh, that's this comment here?
Yeah.
Wait, this one here. He said good... So he said, good morning, Holy Spirit. All right. We'll see you next time, folks. Bye now.